Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you and we magnify you, God. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus Came to Rescue Us. Jesus came to rescue us. And we all know the Christmas story. We just sang a lot of the songs this evening. But no longer was he in a manger when he came into this world. You got to remember a manger where he came from, where he was born. It was basically in a place where all the animals were kept at night. And so you could imagine what it was like in there, the stench. But he came that way for you and I. He didn't come in royalty. He didn't come as a representative of the government. He came lowly and humbly to save us from our sins. Amen. How many are so blessed to know that? Amen. And so, I have all the scriptures up here for you. And so, we're going to go and read and be glorified and magnify the Lord. Amen. And so, if you have your Bibles, if you do, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. We're going to read this right now. And in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, he wrote and said this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." In verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Praise God, praise God. And so, the prophets of old prophesied not only of his first advent, his first coming, but they even prophesied exactly where he would be born. And it's found right here in the book of Micah, Micah 5 and 2. And it says, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old and from everlasting to everlasting." You see, saints of God, God in his sovereignty and his foreknowledge prepared his only begotten son to die for you and me. Can I get amen? Amen. And to die for the sins of the world, that we, you and I, may have eternal life and to live forever. How many of you want to live forever? Well, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as followers of God, he has blessed us and he has promised us eternal life. And we're going to read the Christmas story right now, and you're going to follow me through the scripture. And what I love about it is it's very precise, especially found in the book of Luke. So let's go there to the book of Luke. And it reads, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" How many can honestly say that you feel personally that God has given you favor? Amen. We're highly favored by God. Amen. We wouldn't be here singing the Christmas songs if we didn't have the favor of God upon our lives. Because we have to understand that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we're here now praising him, reminiscing what he has done for you and I. Let's move on to verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Turn to your neighbor and say, "You have been found favor of God." Make sure you turn to the other side too. Some of you might be left out. "For you have been found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Jesus. Say that with me. Jesus. That name. There's nothing like that name. There's no other name. The Bible says, amongst all names, that could save us. And that's found in the book of Acts. No other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Can I get amen? Look at verse 32 here. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him his throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have not known a man?" Wow, that's amazing, huh? Verse 35. "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. And therefore also that Holy One who was to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." What was the child that her cousin was carrying? Oh, somebody knows their word, right? Amen. Praise God. Just testing you. Verse 37. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Say that with me. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Praise God. Let me just pause there for a moment. Because God has done impossible things in our lives. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I got saved at the age of 30, and what he delivered me from was an impossible situation in the eyes of friends and family members. I have a brother that's here. He knows my BC years. And many of us have stories. This is why I want to encourage you to come out on January 1st and testify what God has done in your life. Can I get amen? The last testimony service we had, it was incredible. And there were some things that I knew nothing about, some of you. But then again, you probably never heard the things that I was once involved. But it's but the grace of God that God made it possible. You see, with God, all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
And so many of us have friends and family members, co-workers, someone that you would consider someone lost out in the world. Well, guess what? There's hope for them. Can I get amen?
Amen.
The way God saved us, God could save them as well. And so let's go back to that word right up here. "For with God, nothing will be" what? "Impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. Praise God. Praise God. Saints of God, this is where I'm going to pause, and we're going to have another song selection come forth, and it's entitled, "Mary, Did You Know?"
Silencio, silencio.
daughter, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? That this child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Sight to a blind man, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy has walked with angels strong? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know?
That deserves another shout of praise. Wow. Thank you so much, Sister Leah. That's beautiful. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to continue our story, and I'm going to pick it up in Luke 2, 1 through 20. And so here we go. And the Bible reads, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be what? Registered. This census first took place because the governor of Syria had issued it." Verse 3, "So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Praise God. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out of the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Let me just pause right there. Hasn't Jesus brought us great joy?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And so, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In verse 12, and it reads, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And verse 15, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told to them. Praise God. How many of you know that the story does not end there? It didn't end there. You see, the redemption plan for mankind is alive and well. How many believe that the redemption plan is alive and well? Amen. Because we all know that he didn't stay a child. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible does not record from 12 years old until the age of 30. It's silent. But then in the New Testament, the Word of God picks up when Jesus came on the scene at the age of 30. And for 3.5 years, he ministered to the people. He did miracles. He did wonders. He preached hope. He spoke to those who were lost. He opened up blind eyes. He allowed the mute to speak. He raised the dead. And let me just say this. Sometimes things in our life die. I'm not talking about physical death, but things in our life die. God can resurrect those things in your life. Can I get amen? Why? Why would he do something like that? Because the Word of God tells us right up here. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his," what? "Only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved." He came to save us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
One of the things that it's hard to, and we wrestle with it, is what he saved us from. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. One of the things that Jesus talks about in the Word of God more than he does heaven is a place that's literally called hell. And he came to save us from the wrath of God. And by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, we can have a new life. How many of you can honestly say you have a new life now in Christ? You see, he had to die a hideous death. He was basically before the whole entire world. Many of you have seen The Passion of the Christ. We have seen many stories, movies of Jesus Christ. But every time you saw him on a cross, Yes, he was tattered and bruised and whipped and cut, but he always had a little terry cloth on. Well, many theologians, including Josephus, who was had an eye, he was there up close. He saw with his own eyes that he was naked before this world. And he was so torn in his flesh, you could not tell his gender anymore. That's how badly he was beaten and bruised and whipped. But the word of God says right up here in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he had to what? Endure the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How many are so blessed to know that? Huh? How many are so blessed to know that he took our shame, he took our iniquity, he took all the things that you and I deserve upon him on the cross? He was a sin offering for you and I. And Isaiah, he makes an account of this. He was there personally. And we're coming in for a close now, but I want you to just remember this, what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53, 1 through 12. And it reads, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root of the dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." The depictions of some of the movies, like The Passion of the Christ. How many saw that movie? After the scourging and the whipping and the beatings, it's like, I didn't want to see anymore. And yet, he did it for you and I. Look at verse 3 right here. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him, stricken him, smitten by God." His own father had to smite him and turn from him. As he was on that cross for you and I, smitten by God and afflicted. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." How many can honestly say when Jesus came into your life, he healed your soul?
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Yes.
He healed our soul. And the Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Every transgression was laid upon him that we deserved. My goodness. And it goes on to say, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He did not complain." How many of you, after your first whooping or the first stripe, you would have cried uncle? Oh, come on. You remember when you used to wrestle and someone would put you in a headlock and you would say uncle. After one just whip of the lash, that was a cat nine claw on the tip of that, which would dig in and rip your flesh out. He took on all those stripes for you and I. My goodness. Jesus, just the thought of that. This is why every day I'm so very grateful and thankful that he has saved my life and he took that in the place of me, in the place of you. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 8, look at this. "He was taken from prison, from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked." They put him in a tomb. He was with the wicked. Remember, there was two wicked people, one on each side. And he did not deserve the death that was given to him. My goodness. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That's you and I. Thousands of years ago, it was spoken what Jesus would do for you and for me. Wow. And look at this in verse 12. Then I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You know what Jesus does 24/7? He prays for you and I now that he's in heaven. He prays that we would make it to the end. He upholds us. He keeps us close to him, even when our heart strays away. He will bring us back with his loving touch, his loving care. He will bring us back. You see, Paul wrote this, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. How many believe he's coming back again? How many believe he's coming back again? My question is this: have you prepared your heart when he comes back? Some of you, last Sunday we showed a documentary movie in here called Before the Wrath, and it spoke volumes. It was about Jesus coming back for the church. And the way he's coming back for us is he's going to rapture us out of here. I have too much scripture here to prove the point what I'm sharing with all of us. You see, because Jesus went away to prepare a place for us. How many believe that? And when he comes back, he's coming back for his church. That's you and I, the born again church. Praise God. And so this is why, as I close with this, and he's coming back again. Say that with me. He's coming back again. And we find this in 1 Thessalonians. Look at this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, meaning those who already died and are in the ground physically, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Amen. So, those of you that have loved ones that have already gone on, when he comes back, he's coming back and he's bringing them with him. Can I get amen? That's what God's word just said. Amen. There's hope. I hope you know there's hope in Christ. Look at this in verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, say that with me, for the Lord himself. Woo! I want to hear that again. For the Lord himself, man, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them to be in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No, it don't say that. It says comfort. Comfort one another. And so some of you are probably saying, well, wait a minute. How does that work? Because for me, I know in this body of flesh, it weighs a whole lot of pounds here. So how do I get caught up in there? Huh? Do I have to get on a trampoline and okay, God, here I am. Grab me. It's going to be a supernatural event that's going to take place. And it's found right here. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians. Look at this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, I just said flesh and blood, what, cannot inherit the kingdom of God? Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. This was all a mystery to us until we got saved. Look at this. We shall not all sleep, meaning we shall not all die physically, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. When Jesus rose again on the third day, he's the first one to have a body, which I call, he is the original prototype. And so what God promises you and I, we're going to have a body just like his. How many can't wait for that body? Amen. You could go into your medicine cabinet and throw away all those medicines. Especially after you get the age of 60, you could throw them all away. Listen, God's going to do something so miraculously. It's gonna be mind-blowing. Look at this. For this corruptible, this body of flesh we live in, it's corrupt right now, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. In other words, we need to have a new body to live forever with him. That's what the word of God says. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Listen, if you never receive the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity to invite him. How many of you want that body I just talked about that will live forever? And those of you that have logged in on Facebook and YouTube, there's hope for every one of us through Christ Jesus. The word of God is clear. All we need to do is repent before a holy God. Can I get an amen? The Bible says right here in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, 39, then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. Remission means forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For what? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. My friends, if you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a great opportunity. Especially for those right now that are watching and those who may be here in the midst of us. If you never received the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you might receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and be promised what we just spoke of eternal life. How many want eternal life? Amen. Okay, I just saw one hand, so only one person wants eternal life. How many want eternal life? Amen. All of us do. Amen. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Pray this simple prayer. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and watch him do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart and your head with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.